I'm now going to address one of my very favorite subjects, something I love talking about. This is going to be really great. It's what I call the rewards that you'll get for living an inspired life. And these are the rewards, the things that will come to you as a result of shifting into that world I've been talking about up until now, of living in spirit. And I learned this from one of the really great, powerful teachers. His name was Patanjali. I've referred to him frequently in my writing. You know, they're not really sure of exactly when he lived. I Googled him. I don't know if he appreciated that or not, but actually, I didn't Google him, but I don't know how to Google, but somebody did, and they checked it out, and there's no actual time frame that is precise for when he lived. Some say it was 100 years before the birth of Christ, some say 300 years, some say 400 years before, and some say Patanjali was actually more than one being, was a collection of people, all of whom had this extraordinary Siddhi consciousness that they lived with. And this extraordinary consciousness, most of it is represented in a book written many, many years ago called How to Know God. My friend Deepak Chopra used the title in a book that he wrote about that as well. But How to Know God contains these various sutras. There's 40 or so of them in which you actually go in and practice repeating certain sounds and certain names. Patanjali is the one who taught me the Meditations for Manifesting. That's in the book Getting in the Gap, and in that CD, it's available at Hay House. He taught about repeating the sound that's in the name of God and using that as an inner mantra and using that as an access dimension between the dimensions of the world of form and the world of spirit. That in order to access spirit, he said, there is an intermediate dimension, and the way that you get into that dimension of spirit is by the repetition of the continuous repetition of the sound of the name of God. So it's ah, and that sound of ah is the sound that is in the name for the Creator in virtually all languages. Allah, Krishna, God, Yahweh, Ra, Kali, Durga, on and they go by the thousands. These names virtually all have this particular sound. And this sound of ah, he did it in a scientific way. This sound is a sound that that requires no effort. So that if you're going to use this sound, the sound of ah, you can't move your teeth or your tongue or your lips or your jaw. Those are the four components of making a sound. And when you move either your teeth, your tongue, your lips, or your jaw and aspirate air through them, various sounds come out. But if you don't move any of them and just make a sound, the only sound you can make without moving any of those four components is the sound of ah. Ah, the moment that I change any of those things, my teeth, my tongue, my lips, and my jaw start going crazy in my mouth and different sounds come out. So the creation process is this effortless perfection of repeating this sound. And I have practiced it for years and years and years. It's something that I believe in, that I know works. And if nothing else, by just repeating that sound, you feel closer to God. You feel lighter. It's almost as if you feel like you can fly, you can float. And some of you have been practicing it and doing this for years and years, particularly since I introduced that CD many, many years ago. Patanjali also taught a lot of various sutras for doing things. Now, this is a being or a collection of beings from between, we're going to just say 2,300 years ago, approximately, about 300 years before the birth of Christ. He was teaching people about doing things that had probably never been considered by the average person of that time. The ability to perform miracles, the ability to manifest, the ability to attract into your life the right events and the right people, the ability to bilocate, to be in more than one place at the same time, Some of it sounds a little strange to us. The ability to make yourself invisible. The ability to heal just by being in the presence of elevated consciousness. He was talking about all of these kinds of things and teaching, literally teaching these various sutras, these various aphorisms that he seemed to live at what we call Christ consciousness, or Buddha consciousness, or Siddhi consciousness. If you have a thought, that there is a time delay between having a thought and having that thought materialize into the physical world. So that if you have a thought, I'd like to have something happen, and then you practice and you go out and you do it, and there's a time delay between doing that. But when you reach Siddhi consciousness, or this elevated Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness, whatever you want to call it, there's no delay. So you're just reducing the amount of time that exists between your having a desire and having that desire manifest. And when you reach the highest level, which Jesus said, even the least among you can do all that I have done, and even greater things. It's in each and every one of us to be able to do this. When you reach that particular level, or if a person does reach that level, that's called the gift of fish and loaves. So that if you see hungry people and you think bread, you materialize bread from nowhere. Now immediately we start thinking about all of the reasons why that can't happen and what the limitations for that are, because we know so few people who have this capacity, but there are some that do. And by the way, everybody listening to these CDs right now has this capacity and has had it happen on occasion. It's what Carl Jung called synchronicity. When you're having a thought about someone and that person magically calls you on the telephone, or you call them, or when you're having a thought about something and it drives by you on the freeway and a sign is pointing to exactly what you were thinking about, or any of these kinds of synchronistic kind of collaborations with fate almost, that happen to all of us on a fairly regular basis, but of course we immediately say that that's a coincidence and it's just luck and it's just happenstance, even though it's a fairly regular and common occurrence. As you move into the world of inspiration and being in spirit, you recognize that there are no accidents, that there are no coincidences, that the word coincidence itself is really a mathematical term, and in mathematics, two angles that coincide are said to be two angles that fit together perfectly. So we've taken a term that means something that fits together perfectly and interpreted it to mean something that shows up accidentally. It's again typical of what ego does when it leaves God. It just needs an explanation, and if you can't come up with an explanation, then you just say, it's just weird, it's just luck, it's just strange, it's just happenstance, and so on. Well, Patanjali talked about all of these kinds of things and wrote about them. The original How to Know God, which takes the aphorisms of Patanjali, is fascinating, fascinating reading. I've read through it all, I carry it with me, I've studied it, I've practiced it, I've gotten myself to elevated levels of awareness through the meditation techniques that he speaks about, and so on. And one of those aphorisms is what I would like to talk about here on this program. It's the aphorism on inspiration. And it is the aphorism that provides us with the six rewards for what will happen if you shift into an inspired life. And this is what he said. When you are inspired, now remember, the word inspired means in spirit, so that when you are living in spirit, when you are connected to God, when you are acting as God does, when you are being at a place called God realization, when you are in harmony with your source, when you are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project. One, all of your thoughts break their bonds. Two, your mind transcends limitations. Three, your consciousness expands in every direction.